The first verse be the guys, so Alan and Andy will lead you guys. And then the second verse, the ladies, Lauren and I, will help the ladies beat the guys. All right? So, here we go.
Church. We're gathered as always in the name of Jesus and by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. If you're a guest among us, we want to offer a special welcome to you and invite you to communicate with us by way of the yellow communication card in your worship folder that we might follow up with just a thank you note for your time among us. The worship folder has much in the way of ministry. Here, there is a white insert that's the updated What's Up Wednesday studies that are later start studies that are coming up. We already have quite a few underway and have, I think at last total, looked like about 150 adults, teenagers, and children signed up and involved in What's Up Wednesday activities, breakout faith growth groups. In addition to the 5:30 meal that you all are welcome to attend. That sign-up is in there as well. There's also an insert regarding, it's a green color, the Fall Fest that's coming up. It's October 15th, a combined worship, 11 a.m. outside here, out to the left of the building on the open field. It's this year specifically honoring military veterans and those currently serving in the military. And there's a listing of things that are needed, opportunities for people to plug in. Remember, this is one of our outreaches of hospitality to the neighborhood and also specifically to those who have an altruistic and servant spirit of Christ. So we encourage your attention to that. I believe there's also a sign-up board regarding opportunities down near the Family Life Center. that you can take a look at. And just a reminder, between services here, between the 8 and 9:30 service and the 9:30 and 11, there always is a fellowship time down in the Family Life Center down the end of the hallway. As we worship today, we're mindful of the significant loss that many people are experiencing in our homeland, in Mexico, in the tropical islands. Of course, Puerto Rico is part of the United States, but we lift them up especially. It's an extremely bad situation there. Many of you know Anna and Steve Plant that worship here at 9:30. Anna is a native of Puerto Rico, and I talked with her on Thursday or Friday, and haven't been able to track down all of their relatives, but just the infrastructure and connections are totally wiped out. So as we worship today, let's pause in a spirit of prayer. Lord God, as we come to lift up our voices in adoration and praise to you, we also lift up our cries on behalf of those who might not have the physical energy or emotional energy to cry out anymore, given how long they've been enduring the impacts of hurricane and earthquake. Lord, we thank you for the emergency relief responders already engaged in those situations. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that your presence, your towering strength would be there, and an arm extended, a water given, a blanket, shelter provided. We pray, dear God, for those that are being asked from the mainland here to go to Puerto Rico, especially to restore power and to work on infrastructure needs, that you would be with them and their families while they're apart one from another. Lord God, it's so easy for us to think we're being inconvenienced if a worship service runs long, or the temperature outside is hotter, more humid than we anticipated. Lord, set us aright this day. Give us right perspective, and let this be a time of adoring you, but also of our hearts increasingly breaking for what your heart aches for. We pray, Lord, just under the canopy of the cross, that hope would be with the hopeless, and that the promise of life tomorrow would be with those who have lost everything today. Lord, invade their presence in the power of your love. Amen. I invite you to rise as able to sing.
We're going to do some fun old ones.
With his glory. Father, we do stand and lift our hands to you. Maybe not physically lift our hands, but spiritually we lift up to you. Call you into us. We're so grateful for all that you've given us, for all that you promise to us, for just you, for your relationship with us, for your never-ending presence in our lives and the grace and the mercy that you give us. We thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to come together as believers together, to support each other, to encourage each other, to feel that you're present in them, the person next to us, and that that makes us even stronger, and that we unite in that strength and then disperse out into the world this week, rejuvenated, restored, re-energized, and ready to go out into the world in glorious spirit, so that people who meet us would want to be a part of that too. We thank you for what you put into us so that we can go out and do that. We're so grateful to you. Amen.
See how great.
We're going to move into a time of prayer. You're invited to come to the altar to give your prayers to God, and also to pray over five prayer blankets today. For Christy, who is grieving the death of her father, for Coral and Summer, who both lost their grandfather, and for Sarah and Tyrone, who have health issues.
Let it be, Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be, Jesus, my song inside the storm. I'll never need another.
Father, hear the songs, the melodies of our heart we sing. And tune our hearts into an ongoing score of your music, that we would, day by day, let it be Jesus. Surrender it to Him. Strive to commit it unto Him. Heavenly Father, for those that will be enveloped in these prayer blankets and prayer shawls this week, let it be Jesus who is their ultimate comforter, their eternal rock, the one who weeps with them. Let it be Jesus, the resurrected one, whose ascension proclaims that You have won the victory over sin and the grave. Let it be Jesus, Lord. for us as your church, this week when we're in the places you appoint us, homes, neighborhoods, families, friends, workplaces, school places, let it be Jesus. When we're in conversations about others, about leaders, let it be Jesus. Lord God, you've already heard our cries for those in the midst of devastation. We pray, Lord, now for the emergency responders and the humanitarian relief personnel, many of whom are going days and weeks without proper rest, away from family and loved ones. We pray that your wisdom would guide their decisions and keep them safe. We pray, Lord, that you would keep their hearts encouraged in the midst of monumental challenges. And we pray, Lord, for our sisters and brothers that have lost everything with power outages and floodwaters and further floods threatening, with commerce down and communication interrupted. Lord, in your mercy, through the human heart, hands and feet, mount a tremendous response with supplies and help to Puerto Rico and Mexico, Southwest and Florida. Dear God, we pray for the leaders of this world, and in the midst of the noise and the sound bites, and just pray that each of them would be driven to their knees with the seriousness with which the rhetoric comes from. Lord, may they shrink in their own ability to move through potential war and nuclear crisis. And may they, Lord, look to you, humble and alive in hope. We pray it, Lord, not only for the nations of North Korea and the United States, but for South Korea and Japan and China and Russia and all those in between. Lord, your scripture says that the purpose of government is under your hand to be organized and to raise a people up to do a thing mightier than they can do in and of themselves. Lord, invade the presence of our leaders for peace and for justice. In the merciful name of Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to receive God's tithes and our offerings, but I want to note that during our last song in the worship today, we'll be having the opportunity we've been given the last 4 or 5 years. If you've been led to make a special offering to the Aldersgate Church's loan, Bite Out of Debt, that's a special name we've given to the offering this last Sunday in September. Every dollar given through the pink envelopes in your worship folder or through the smaller pink envelope in your offering envelope will go to that debt reduction. Those movements can be placed here during the last song. If you're unable to come forward and prefer to place it in the offering plate, you may do that as well. Our debt stood about 5 years ago at $1.9 million. It's now $873,000. That's just a tremendous drop in 5 years. So together we've been better, but we have an opportunity to continue to hammer away at that in these moments as we present to God God's tithes and our offering, and then also later on the Bite Out of Debt offering.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing.
God said, amen. Anna, I didn't, we prayed for Puerto Rico specifically before you came in the sanctuary, but, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you'd like or led to give just an update of what people are going through there, you're welcome to come forward. Would you like to do that? This is a personal connection to what our sisters and brothers in Puerto Rico are dealing with. If you've seen the pictures and the reports, it's just horrendous. Go ahead, Anna.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I feel truly blessed. I know my family's safe today. It's total devastation. The government is still not able to communicate with most regions in the island. A lot of my friends that live up here have parents in nursing homes in flooded areas. They don't even know if they got them out. I just ask for your prayers for everybody's safety. I know the urban areas are under a curfew. I talked to my sister last night, and there's been already people breaking into homes with weapons, trying to take combustibles and different forms of energy away. It's just a really bad situation. It's hit everybody, rich, poor. There's no difference anymore. So I ask for everybody to pray. I'm not sure how we can help at this point. I know there's some organizations that have been flying in. People can't get out. You can't go in. Even private flights have been canceled at this point. So there's no way in or out. So, but I'm just grateful that I know they're safe, and I can only talk to them up till 7 p.m. because they have to drive to try to find a signal to get on the phone somehow, which I believe is a miracle. I've been able to talk to my sister anytime, anytime that I want to talk to her. Even through the storm, we were on the phone, and it was cell phone to cell phone. We jokingly said, well, Mom must be praying for us to be able to communicate up in heaven really strongly. My sister did say that that's part of our Catholic beliefs, that there's still some connection there, but I know God is good and things will be better, God willing. There's a lot of people helping other people, which this is good. Thank you.
Anna, may I pray for you just now? Let's pray for Anna, her family, and through Anna's voice here, you hear the pain and concern that others surely are experiencing as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Anna's voice, for bringing what we see on TV right to us in this moment, in this time. Help this to be a Kairos moment for us, that we know that you are here, and that just as you are here, you are with all those in the devastated areas, especially Puerto Rico, as we hear this update. Lord God, we pray for the government leaders there. We pray for emergency responders, for teams going in that are seeking to rebuild some infrastructure networks, electricity. And we pray those that are monitoring the flooding situation. And most of all, Lord, we just pray that they're able to communicate. And people are able to hear the words they need to hear to move to higher ground for safety or where to go for food or assistance. Lord God, protect Anna's heart. Be with her loved ones and be with all those who are separated from loved ones in these moments. You are what our hearts are hungry for, the deliverer, the rock of our salvation, the hope of the world. How can we claim those things in the midst of such devastation? We can claim it because your cross was a devastating instrument of the Roman Empire. And Jesus, by your power, Heavenly Father, transformed it into a sign of victory for all the world to see. Let that victory be for the people in these lands that have lost everything. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We continue week two of a two-week series, Redeeming the Time, Rediscovering the Bullseye of Our Lives. The main portion of it, the bulk of it, the meat of the focus was last week. So if you weren't here last week, I highly encourage you to stop by the blue table out here, desk out here, the information desk, and pick up the handout that was provided last week. And to also go online and follow that handout through with the message that's posted online. Today we'll build on that a little bit more and primarily focus on redeeming time. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in these moments, we know that you are present. So we don't need to invoke your presence, but we need you to provoke us to be attentive to your spirit, your will, your word, and your way. Meet us here Stir in us that we might move more completely as your kingdom citizens in the world. Holy Spirit, come and refine us, refresh us, and send us renewed in the power of your love. Amen. For those that were here last week, you'll remember I began by saying, when it comes to time, tell me what comes to mind. And there were a variety of responses through all the three services in the morning. And then I shared the wisdom that was shared with me years ago, that you act as though time was made for you, but indeed you were made for time. There's a huge difference. And then we looked at the two Greek words in Scripture for time that are translated into English in the one word, time. The first word is chronos. Chronos, chronology. Chronos is that keeping of time, the ticking of the clock, hours, years. That's what we have a tendency to focus on and to be consumed by and to allow to control us. The other Greek word for time is kairos. Paul talks about kairos for such a time as this. Kairos has nothing to do with the clock or about counting years or hours. Kairos has to do with it's the right time. It's the right time. It's God's time, God's moment. I talked last week about the chronos, like sand through an hourglass. And many of you filled in the soap opera, so are the days of our lives. And when we focus on the sand movements, a lot of times we miss the life moments God's seeking to gift us in the present. Kairos time says God is here. He's with our sisters and brothers in Puerto Rico. They might not have a sense and feel it, but he's there. He's weeping with them. He's advocating. He's awakening us, even in today. And I thank Anna for coming up. I usually don't do that to a person in the midst of a service, but I thank you for coming up, because perhaps that was a kairos moment that didn't delay our chronology, chronos time in the worship, but actually was worship, that God might be preparing our hearts to give generously when opportunity comes for those in need. Chronos is measurable, quantitative. Kairos time is meaningful and qualitative. I mentioned that chronos is represented in the Greek culture with father time, an aged old guy with a clock. But kairos is represented as a young, active, vibrant, scanning the world individual who's looking to engage life. Moments of chronos often control you and me. Checking the phone. Kairos are moments ripe with meaning. Again, you can pick up that handout from last week and get that and more from the message time in addition to online. Today, I want to focus on the redeeming of time that we're called to. I'm going to be reading that from the New King James Version. The NRSV is what is projected up here. We're going to read that together. But really what I want us to be able to focus on is the New King James Version representation, translation of this. So we're just going to read verse 15 and 16, and then we're going to pause there, okay, Stephen? And I'm going to read the New King James Version. Would you join together? Paul's speaking to us in time, for time, in our living. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. The New King James Version is really the one I was led to this week, as Paul in it is quoted as saying, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be careful how you live. But the New King James offers, see then that you walk circumspectly. When you think about our living, it involves movements, right? We move through a day, we move through a week, we move through circumstances, we navigate life. We live in a world that increasingly doesn't seem to care about walking circumspectly. What does that mean? Circumspectly means with watchfulness, cautiously, attentive to guard, be on guard and aware of potential dangers. How many of you, when there are obstacles in a house or a pathway to be navigated, you say to a child or a grandchild, now I want you to walk circumspectly in here. It's not a usage, is it? But it's pretty cool to hear it in the New King James Version. Paul says, see that you walk circumspectly. I can remember as a kid going to some older relatives' homes. And before we went in the home, we were told how precious some of the things in that home were. It looked like old bowls and junk to me, but they were gifts. And we were told, walk circumspectly. No. We were told, be careful not to be running, bumping anything, or touching anything. And if you do, I'm going to break your arm when we get out. That got our attention. So we ended up walking circumspectly. Paul is saying to us, one of the ways we're to use our time is to walk through life circumspectly, cautiously, watchful in every way, on guard, because God just might be up to something. God might be up to something. And then he continues in the King James portion of that verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil, making the most of time because the days are evil. The real essence of it is redeeming the time. Okay, it's a sort of confession time. How many here have never heard of S&H green stamps? Raise your hands. You never heard of S&H green stamps? Oh, you have. How many have not? Okay, we have. S&H green stamps were these little green stamps, light green, that when my family would, when I was a kid, they'd go to the grocery store. If they spent back then like $12, they would have a little dispenser and put like a 10 in and then a 2, and you get different size stamps out for $1, $5, $10, whatever. My mom would bring them home and throw them in a big bag. And every couple months, she'd say, Troy, Pam, my sister, you guys, after you do your chores this morning, Saturday morning, you can't go do anything else until you lick the green stamps. You'd lick these things, and then you put them in a book. You remember? Pretty gross. And I'd say, why are you... What are you going to do with these? And she'd say, I'm going to go to the store and redeem them. Well, I had no idea what redeem meant. All I knew is I never got any of the gifts that she redeemed them for. There's always something for the kitchen or whatever. How many of you have ever been to Ocean City, Maryland's arcade area is really big for this. You can stand there and play arcade, and the tickets just come out, and they come out, and they come out, and you see some people going with a big pile of them, and they go to the redemption counter, right? Now, Paul's not talking about that type of redeeming, because basically at those redemption counters, you're getting junk, for the most part. At the redemption counter of the arcade, anyway, especially. But to redeem means to take what's been given you, and to give it back. Honoring it is a gift that you might have a greater blessing. That's what Paul is saying here. God has, with every chronos moment, He's not giving you a green stamp, but He's giving you the moment of life. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary moments. You're walking around, eating, going to sleep, getting up, going to work life, and make it an offering. He's giving us time that we didn't earn. And we don't redeem it at our final breath. Paul says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise people, redeeming the time, handing it back to God who made it, that we might not mark time, but leave God's mark through our time on earth. But we get caught up in this cultural trap. Time can seem like an eternity, can it? When you're waiting on something, you're at the doctor's or you're waiting. When indeed, living a life, redeeming the time is seen as a gift from God. Waiting can seem like a waste of time, can it? But waiting spiritually, when we redeem the time, is that we're in a period of learning and growth. It's not wasting time. Is waiting the 9 months for a child to develop in the womb, is that a waste of time? How many of you have ever had a child in your family system or friendship networks born prematurely? Is 9 months a waste of time waiting? Paul wants us to see that spiritually just the same. At 11 o'clock, Maggie Ellen Stumbaugh will be baptized. And as she's baptized, she's marked in the saving promises of Christ. And the prayer shawl ministry here does these prayer shawls, and she'll be given this, and it'll symbolically enfold her. And I will say, just as you were nurtured in the water of a womb and birthed physically, now it's the church's job and your parents' job to nurture you in the water of a faith community. Amen. Kairos time. It is to invade our chronos. It's to determine how we use our time keeps on going thing. And by the way, before I forget, you know, last week I referenced the great, how many of you remember the great theologian I referenced last week?
Tom Petty.
It was God-centered, wasn't it? Yeah. Hey, here's an even better one. This is Steve Miller, the great... hear it? How many of you know it? Time keeps on slipping. If you focus only on chronos, you think your time's wasting away. But kairos is God's giving you a moment to be alive for Jesus, for such a time as this. You know, some people are humming along, huh? You know, these words, honestly, when you listen to music, you hear the cries of the world. Now, this is an older song, but this song continues to put shoes on the children, is one of the lyrics there, to feed the hungry. Steve Miller had more awareness of what Kairos time done than some Christians do. Wow. To be nurtured, enveloped and wombed in Christ, that we might be birthed in all our days to the being and the child of God God intends for us to be. You know, there was a poll done a few years back that asked people gave them some options, but it asked people, what are you living for? And there were several options there, and the option that received 94% of the number one responses was, I am living basically for tomorrow. I'm just enduring today. That's a chronos time that misses the moment. Running in full place, full speed, and missing the gift of the moment. This past week, you might be pleased to know that your pastor not only preached the message, but I felt convicted by it. There was a situation that occurred in the midst of the week where I saw an individual, and I could tell that individual was alone or just down. And I saw the situation, and for several minutes, I'm so worried about chronos time, but for several minutes, I argued with myself whether I would intervene and try to start a conversation or step aside, keep my busy day going. And after about the third time of answering, nah, and not today, the Spirit enveloping me in the womb of Jesus Christ kept saying, that's not what you're here for, your precious chronology of the day. Participate in the Kairos moment. It is the right moment. And I did, and I walked away from that interaction being reminded that, wow, this Kairos stuff really is true. God is seeking to speak to us in those unexpected moments. But if I'm so caught up measuring the time, I can't redeem the time God's already given me. Redeem is God has given you the biggest payout possible. He's given you life chips. And he wants you to turn them over and cash them in and live the momentary life. Because the tomorrow you're planning for isn't promised to anyone. That should change how we are with one another. That should change what uses our chronos time. And Paul continues, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. You see, when we sing together, God's seeking to tune our hearts as well. And then giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. I remember going to Lewistown, Pennsylvania, which was the closest S&H Green Stamp Redemption store to where we lived. I remember riding along with my mom and my aunt and my grandmother and me and my sister and our couple cousins in a giant station wagon. And I remember them being excited. Hard for the rest of us to imagine this, maybe, but they were excited that they had 25 books of green stamps. They were excited. When I've been at Ocean City, Maryland, and I see kids and their parents going to a counter with all those tickets to redeem, I don't see gloomy Gus's and downy Dawn's or whatever. I see people that are excited. Paul is saying to us, don't let the evil of the present invade your joy. Kairos has everything to do with the abundant living and joy-filled life Christ promises us. But we have to pause in the moment. We have to practice the interruptible moment. We have to do better than just mark our time. but redeem our time that God might make a mark upon others through it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul writes, "At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold," Paul says, "now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Amen. You might be thinking, well, I committed my life to Jesus years ago. This isn't a day of salvation. Oh, yeah, it is. Every moment is kairos in Christ. For Jesus said, "I won't leave you orphaned. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes, will comfort you, and will teach you and lead you." What if we looked at our clocks and the first thing that came to our mind was, now is the moment of salvation. God continuing to work in me and wound in the church and in the brotherly and sisterly love of one another. Are you allowing the urgent chronos time of your life to steal the goodness and godliness moments of kairos? What are you living for? Last week I asked, whose clock are you on? Instead of killing time, spending time, counting time, those who are redeemed in Christ are commissioned to redeem it. You've given me this gift, Lord God, I give it back to you. Open my eyes that I may see the truth you have for me, and the people intersecting. I believe, not because I'm all that holy, because I'm not. I walk on the same level as you guys walk on. But I believe that God, as I was praying prior to you coming in, Anna, you were in my mind, and I sat down and we were singing, and I kept having this nudge. Give Anna a chance to speak. Someone who's talked to people that really are suffering, and to put more than just those images on TV. The kairos is always alive. It's always pregnant with God's life-giving movement. And this might be that pregnant moment for you and me to commit ourselves to Christ, to recommit ourselves to Christ, and to begin saying, "Lord, help me each day redeem the time." Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, in the acceptable time, you poured out your love in Jesus Christ, who walked with those who were oppressed, who talked with those who were distanced, who healed the sick and ate with sinners, whose sacrifice on the cross covers the world's sin, and ushers us into a salvation journey that awakens us to the truth that this is your world and all the time that we have is gifted by you. So in these moments, Lord, let your Holy Spirit awaken anyone here who needs to say yes to Jesus for the first time, for his saving grace, for a new creation, for a new time basis to keep us measured by, kairos. Lord, for those that have been following Jesus for years, Lord, let this be a moment. How do we offer, regardless of our life circumstances, how do we offer the moment into your hands and say, "Lord, you've given it to me, I redeem it back to you. Now, teach me your ways and open my eyes up to what you want me to be seeing." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Savior. We thank you for Paul, the apostle. We thank you for his challenge to us to walk circumspectly and to identify those things that would get in the way and keep us from seeing your way. Lord God, come into our lives and make us people redeemed, saved, that redeem the gift you've given us back to you. That this week we might be marked with Jesus Christ to make a difference in someone's life. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, the tomatoes. How or when does a tomato ripen? I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. It's in time, isn't it? If you're going to sit there and count and watch the clock and the calendar, you're going to be sitting quite a while, aren't you? This is our lives. This is our spiritual life. This isn't worthless. It's just not in the fullness of what God intends it to be. This isn't quite there yet. That's probably many of us. In the Kairos moments, God infuses us with the Holy Spirit and teaches us that we might be a fresh offering to the world. I invite you to rise as we go in the power of God's love. And if anyone has been led to bring forth a special offering to bite out the debt, that we're better together, I invite you to do that. At this time, the basket is here for that dedication. Let us pray together the prayer that is listed in your worship folder and on the screen as we come to this moment. Let us pray. Loving Father, we humbly dedicate this special offering, stirred by your presence. Take the diverse gifts of our lives and mold them into a focused and joy-filled witness to what you day after day.
love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. We sing alleluia. You're my portion, my salvation. Alleluia. You're my portion, my salvation. Alleluia. You're my portion, my salvation.